From Matthew chapter 14, 22 to 36. And yes, you've guessed it. It's Jesus walking on the water. I thought this time I'd read from the NIV. I'm not quite sure what version Mark was reading from before. But let's look at another telling of the story of Peter walking on the water. So Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they'd crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought their sick to him, and he begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Let's just pray for Mark, shall we? And for the rest of us. Lord, you've got something to say to each one of us this morning. And we pray that you will bless us as we listen and bless Mark as he speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Confession time, or if it's confession time if you think it's something that perhaps you shouldn't be admitting to in church on a Sunday morning. Who here watches Have I Got News For You? There are some honest people here, that's good to see. And maybe there's some people with a sense of humour, if not the same sense of humour as those who are on the panel game. Okay. But it's for those of you who've never seen it and don't know what it is, it's a comedy news quiz that appears at the end of a week on BBC One. And normally it's a kind of satirical take the mickey out of the current news stories. So you can probably guess what the current jokes are all about at the moment in the series, can't you? Yes, okay. You don't have to agree. We'll not mention them at all, right? Well, I thought I'd pinch one of their ideas this morning and we'd start this morning with one of their quiz items from Have I Got News For You. It's called the Picture Spin Quiz. And this morning we're going to look at a news story from the last month. Happened to be a local story, but it did make the national press as well, so you may have picked it up somewhere. And as the picture comes spinning onto the screen in just a few moments, put your hands up as soon as you guess what the story is. I'll try and spot the first person that puts their hands up, and we'll see whether you get it right or not, okay? But if you know the answer, do put your hands up, because it may take a few to get the right answer from the picture of the story, okay? So are we ready now? Right, okay then. Jeff. It's pretty much there. I think the answer is, and you can give Jeff a round of applause. It's the policeman who wouldn't ride on a bike, or wouldn't actually stand photographed on a bike, because he hadn't done his cycling proficiency test. Okay, that's the story. The Lancashire policeman, his name is PC Tony Cobbin, and he told photographers that he would not be able to climb on the mountain bike to be photographed on it. That's all he was doing, because they were being given the bikes by a charity for them to use in their patrols on bike. He wouldn't climb on the bike because he hadn't done his cycling proficiency test. His inspector, and I quote, said, officers are required to be appropriately trained and assessed prior to using bikes for patrolling in order to comply with insurance and for the safety of themselves and the public. Well, isn't that a relief? Years of experience count for nothing. Oh, I've been riding a bike since I was 4. No, sorry, you've not done your cycling proficiency. You can't go on it. It's risk assessments gone mad, isn't it? Risk assessments, health and safety. I mean, we live in the 21st century, don't we, where there seems to be, you know, a risk assessment that has to happen no matter what you're going to do. We all have to live by them, whether we're working in a kitchen, a church in kitchen included, whether we're working with children, whether we're working with tools, whether we're working off the ground, whether we're working on the ground, whether we're working in water, wherever we're working, on a building site, an office, it doesn't matter. There are health and safety rules, and before those health and safety rules, you know, are checked upon, a risk assessment will have to be conducted to make sure that you're not going to be at risk at all. I regularly have to do a risk assessment of my desk. Such a dangerous place to work, sat behind a desk, that I have to make sure that it isn't going to be dangerous to me whatsoever or my health. Okay? This is where we live, isn't it? We live in the 21st century where risks aren't to be taken, if at all possible, so everyone can live and work safely and comfortably. In fact, we're so taken to being comfortable that in this 21st century, we all want to live within our comfort zones, free of risk, free of danger, and free of fear. We want to stay within our comfort zones. Well, to help us understand a bit more as to what we mean by a comfort zone, I turn to the oracle on the internet that some people call Wikipedia. And Wikipedia has the following description of the comfort zone theory. It goes like this. One's comfort zone refers to the set of environments and behaviours with which one is comfortable without creating a sense of risk. Are you following me so far? Yeah? Does that make sense? Does that kind of ring home to what you might think of as a comfort zone? You can nod in agreement if you want to. Right, okay. Well, it goes a little bit further. A comfort zone is a type of mental conditioning. It causes a person to create and operate mental boundaries that are not real. Okay, does that sound fair enough? Okay, they're not real. That's outside my comfort zone. I'm not going there. And, you know, as if there's a, you know, an electric fence or something, you know, something drastic is going to happen to you if you dare step outside that mental boundary. Well, I've not finished yet. There's a little bit more that Wikipedia said about comfort zones. It said, such boundaries create an unfounded sense of security. Like inertia, a person who has established a comfort zone in a particular axis of his or her life will tend to stay within that zone without stepping outside of it. There we have it in a nutshell, according to Wikipedia, the comfort zone theory. We mustn't step outside our comfort zones because we won't be comfortable. We want to remain comfortable in our lives, and so we have these artificial barriers where we stay within those comfort zones in different axes of our lives, or in other words, the different aspects of our lives, the different things we do, how we meet with other people, how we work with other people, how we share with other people, how we live safely even with children. When we take our children on holiday, I think it's probably a fear born into us. You know, you're coming to the edge of a lake or a pond, a harbour wall, a cliff, whatever it is, and no, stop! You don't let them go too far. They're probably perfectly safe, but there's that kind of, they're out of my comfort zone. Get back. Never mind whether they're comfortable doing it or not. I'm not comfortable with you doing it. You get back. In our story today, we had an example if you like, of what are the responses that we often make when we have to step outside our comfort zones, either because of circumstances forced upon us or because we're, you know, doing something for the first time we've not done before. And what reaction we often have to being moved outside our comfort zone is fear. We often fear what the consequences will be if we move outside our comfort zones where we live and where how we react and work. In our story, Jesus had sent the disciples to cross the Sea of Galilee rowing a boat. And the winds and the waves have picked up and they're trying to row into a headwind. Now, rowing's hard work at the best of times. But if you're trying to row into a headwind, then it's even harder work. And actually what some scholars think is that they weren't heading for Gennesaret at all. They were heading further along the coast, and the wind blew them off course. And such was the strength of the wind. But the waves are up as well, and it wouldn't have been very pleasant being in a rowing boat at that time of the day. Jesus has gone up to the mountainside to pray at night. They're alone in their boat, and they're halfway across, is what we're told. And it's now the fourth watch. Now, the fourth watch in the Jewish calendar was roughly between 3 in the morning and 6. Okay? So, in all likelihood, it's dark. Okay? It's dark. So, you can put yourself in the disciples' shoes now, can't you? In that boat, rough sea, rowing into a headwind. They can't see where they're going. They're being tossed around by the waves, pushed by the wind. And it's a pretty scary place to be. Just that in itself. And then what happens next? They see something that looks like a human figure coming towards them out of the dark, out of the gloom, walking on the water. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of, you know, if you were seeing that for the first time, would be way out of your comfort zone and experience, wouldn't it? Goodness me. So it's no wonder that the Bible tells us the disciples, well, they weren't just in fear. They were terrified, and they cried out in fear, is what they did. They were, really, really scared, really, really frightened, really full of fear. And a human figure at an unexpected time and place was way out of their comfort zones. Now, today in our society, when we think about our situations as well, we often live with daily fears, especially in our current climate. Maybe some of you are living with the fear of redundancy, not having a job, or not knowing how much longer your job's going to last. Maybe others are living with the fear of repossession or bankruptcy, or, you know, increasing debts in order to try and live. And then there are other fears that have been around, you know, at times when we hear news stories of terrorist actions. You know, there's the fear of the extremists in the world, whether they are extremists by faith, whether they are terrorists, or whether they're even political extremists in this country, and the fear of what may happen at coming elections with, you know, the state of democracy as it stands in this country at the moment. Real fears that have been, you know, sounded out to maybe some of us feel and think, oh, I don't like this. Maybe some of us feel those fears of things that are out of our control and well outside of our comfort zones. But what about our Christian lives? Are we living with fears in our Christian lives as individuals and in the life of the church? Maybe the fear of sitting somewhere different when you come on a Sunday. Anyone sitting somewhere different than you normally sit this morning? Well done. Two. And I was as well. I'll put my hand up there. We are something slightly different. But maybe there's that kind of fear, you know, so just to start on an uneasy level. But maybe some of us have the fear of talking with others we haven't spoken to before. Maybe the fear of joining a small group and what that might mean. You know, we're perhaps comfortable coming for a large gathering on a Sunday, but to be part of a small group with, you know, a few people, ooh, that's a bit scary and uncomfortable. Maybe there's the fear of sharing our faith when we're not here, when we're at work, when we're with our neighbours, when we're with family who aren't Christians and don't share what we share. Maybe we have a fear of, what do I say? Can I say anything? Oh, that's scary, uncomfortable, outside of my comfort zone. Maybe the fear of something we've not done before in our Christian lives. All these fears can make us uncomfortable and challenge us to move outside of our comfort zones. And if we don't choose to move outside of our comfort zones, well, caution, you're entering your comfort zone and you become very settled and fixed, sitting in the same place each week on a Sunday, only talking to those people who you know, only sharing with the same group of friends your Christian faith, and never going outside the comfort zone of sharing your faith with others. The disciples were way outside of their comfort zone with this human figure coming across them out on the water in the dark of the night. They thought the human figure was a ghost, and they failed to recognize that the figure was Jesus. Not only did they not recognize that the figure was Jesus, they really couldn't have seen that it was Jesus miraculously walking on the water. That was way beyond it. They didn't recognize the figure in the first place. And maybe our fears in our Christian lives are because we don't recognize Jesus coming to us, or recognize what he's wanting to do in our lives, or what he is calling us to. Maybe we've heard Jesus speaking to us, but we haven't responded yet because that's a bit scary and we're full of fear. Maybe we're living with the fears that society is living with, and we feel all alone, and we don't know what to do, and we don't recognize that Jesus is there with us. The disciples may have been scared of their situation, you know, being tossed about by the waves and everything else. But the point was, Jesus had seen them, and Jesus was already coming out towards them. They just didn't recognize that he was there and he was with them. And maybe we don't recognize when we're trying to cope with our fears that we're not on our own. Jesus is with us as well. And maybe we're the same as a church. Maybe we've become comfortable with all that's happening. Nice building that we have. Maybe we're comfortable with all that we're doing, and we fail to recognize what Jesus is doing and what he is calling us to do as a church, because we fear what going that next step could mean. And we're quite happy in our comfort zones. Maybe we're a bit like Evan Baxter. Now, Evan is the main character in the film Evan Almighty. And I know it's not an animation, and my children told me off when they knew I was using a clip from a film. "Aren't you using a Disney?" They said this, to me this morning. I said, no. But in my defense, if you've seen the film, you'll know there is computer animation and generated imagery that is in the film. Okay, so that's my defense, but just not in the clip that we're going to see. Now, just to give you a bit of backstory, Evan Almighty is actually the follow-up film to Bruce Almighty. And Evan Baxter, has given up being the news anchorman that he was in Bruce Almighty, and he's now a US congressman. He and his family have moved to a new home to make a new start. But for Evan, life is about to take a slightly different turn, which is where we pick up the story from the film. Evan doesn't at first believe that it's God speaking to him. I have to say that if I was Evan and God came speaking to me just like Morgan Freeman, I don't think I'd have any doubts at all. That would be great, wouldn't it? But Evan, he doesn't know. And the possibility that God is calling him to do something absolutely ridiculous in Evan's eyes freaks him out completely, doesn't it? He's running scared and is full of fear. And maybe we feel exactly the same if we get an inkling of maybe what God's calling us to in our Christian lives, or what the next step is for us, for a church. Maybe we're thinking, no, can't be us, not now. Are we the same? Jesus says to the disciples in the boat, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And he says the same to us as well. "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Whatever our fear, whether personal circumstances and future worries, or fears of what Jesus is calling us to, Jesus is with us. And he tells us, "Don't be afraid. Don't fear tomorrow." Someone said, "Jesus is already there." Just like Jesus was there with the disciples. They didn't recognize him, but Jesus is. He's there with us. He's there in our today. He's there for our tomorrow. He's there in whatever we may worry about in the future. Jesus is already there, so don't be afraid. "It is I. Take courage," says Jesus. So Peter, how does he respond to that? well, ever the impulsive one, he goes from one extreme to the other, doesn't he? He suddenly calls out to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Well, I'm not sure that I'd have been quite as impulsive as Peter, looking at the waves and the storm and the wind. But, you know, this is Peter. He's moved, isn't he? And from fear to faith. And Jesus says to him, come, come. So Peter steps out of the boat and onto the water. And Peter moves from fear to faith as he steps out of the boat. And he steps out from the relative comfort and safety of the boat and onto the water. And by faith in Jesus, Peter leaves fear behind. Because Jesus can be trusted. If Jesus says, come, there is nothing to fear. Jesus will keep us safe. Jesus is with us. If Jesus says, come, then Jesus is not calling us to do anything that we're not capable or able to do. Jesus is not going to call us to do something that he's not going to enable us to do. When Jesus says, come, we can step out in faith and follow him, because it's him that's calling and him that's wanting us to respond. So Peter, having left fear behind, stepped out of the relative comfort zone of the boat and is walking on the water to Jesus. That's a kind of a wow moment, isn't it? If we just pause there. Matthew doesn't pause, he goes very quickly to say what happens next. But if we just pause there, we can go, wow, that's faith. You know, there's one thing to see Jesus walking on the water, but now there's Peter able to walk on the water as well, because Peter's responded to Jesus' call. He knows he can do it, even if he's never done it before. And even when there are storm clouds brewing in our lives or waves crashing around us, Jesus is with us. And just like Peter, we just need to look to Jesus. And in faith, we can receive the help that Jesus can give us, and he will see us through. So Peter starts well, doesn't he? But then Matthew very quickly tells us that Peter's weak humour responses take over, and he looks away from Jesus and suddenly becomes aware of where he is and what he's doing. The wind blowing him, the waves washing around him, and he begins to sink. Instead of looking at Jesus, he looks at the world around him and he becomes paralysed by fear. Paralysed by fear all of a sudden, even though he was going in the right direction. And we can do the same. Even when we do respond to Jesus, even when we are listening to his call and we're stepping out, then sometimes we can sometimes go, ah, what am I doing? And we become paralysed by fear in that moment. I battle at times with nerves, and I can become very nervous about what others think of me in the different situations and the consequences of what that might mean. And, you know, it can affect my performance, for want of a better description. In work, I work in a telephone contact centre for Job Centre Plus, and on a regular basis, I have to have a line manager or someone of the same level come and sit with me and listen in to the calls that I'm conducting to make sure I handle them well, make sure I go through the questions properly, make sure I'm doing it timely and efficiently, and so on and so forth. And I get scored on a pad. And it's one thing handling a telephone conversation with a member of the public, ordinarily, but then when you've got someone else listening into your call who's actually going to measure you on it, well, that's something else. And I get rather nervous, and it does affect my performance, and I always tell the line manager, look, I said, my call times might be brilliant normally, but today, forget that, because I could be all over the place. I suffer with nerves on occasions like this. And they say, it's okay, it's only natural. And there are other occasions when I think of afterwards, in my Christian life, I think, oh, why didn't I? What stopped me then from doing what I believed was right? Like, for instance, and maybe some of you had the same experience as well, you're in a prayer meeting, and there's something that's on your mind, and you think, I must pray for that. And, you know, it's there, and you just kind of don't know when to pray, or whether you should do, and so you hang on, and you hang on, and you hang on, and then someone else prays for the thing that you had on your mind, and you think, oh, that was God. And actually, out of my fear and hanging on, I've been paralyzed, and I've not stepped out when God was calling me to, and God's, you know, been saying the same thing to the prayer group at that time. I think the worst recent memory for me was last December when I felt really paralyzed by fear. I was preaching here in the evening on only the second occasion that I'd preached here since joining the church, everything was going well. I felt fine. Prayer in the vestry, great. Worship, I enjoyed, fantastic. And then evening, most of the congregation, it was kind of dark, as far as most is concerned, especially when you got the lights on you. So I hadn't really been aware of who was in the congregation until I stood up at the pulpit. I opened my Bible, read my notes and looked up, and sitting just over here was a familiar face. There he is. I thought, oh my goodness me. It's Pastor Alan Ellershaw, who, for those of you who don't know, is a member of the Free Methodist Church National Leadership Team. Important figure in the life of the Free Methodist Church in the UK. And I enjoy his preaching. I admire him greatly from that point of view. Always enjoyed listening to him. And all of a sudden he's there. And he's going to be listening to me. And I go, ugh. And that was bad. Anyway, I thought I'd better just plough on, concentrate on what I was doing. And I started reading the Bible. And then the next time I looked up, another familiar face caught my eye, sitting just next to Pastor Allen, just over there. For those of you who don't recognize that smiling face, that's our bishop. That's Bishop David Roller. I didn't even know he was in this country. He's normally in the States. And there he was, very important figure, and oh, goodness me, the circumstances around me began to affect me more than what I'd already thought and prepared. My nerves kind of got the better of me, and I didn't dare look at Karen, my wife, because she was probably more nervous than I was, and would convey that in her face, and that wouldn't help me at all. On the one hand, I wanted to look at Pastor Alan and the bishop, just to check that they were nodding in agreement and smiling. But at the same token, I was too scared to do it in case they weren't nodding and smiling in agreement. And I felt I was beginning to sink. And I felt very uncomfortable indeed. It did certainly affect my performance if I wasn't completely paralyzed by fear. And that's how it goes, isn't it? And I certainly found things difficult on that occasion. And so did Peter. Suddenly he realized the consequences of looking away from Jesus. Because as he looked away from Jesus and he became aware of the situation in which he was in, he began to sink. Now, it's not a good thing to do when you've probably not got your life buoyancy aids or jacket and done your full risk assessment before going out on a boat. Because they didn't have them then. He was sinking. And if he carried on to sink, well, he'd have drowned. But what did he call? He called out to Jesus, "Save me. Save me," he said to Jesus. And straight away, Jesus was there. And he reached out with his hand and helped Peter back into the boat. All he had to do was to reach out his hand. And Jesus was there and called, "Save me." And Jesus rescued him. With those words, and I so like the way that Hazel read it for us earlier, that Jesus then says to Peter, "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" It's a very teacher way of doing it, I thought. But, it's nice kind of, not a put down, but in an encouraging way. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And sometimes we're like that in our Christian lives, aren't we? Why did we doubt? Jesus was saying that to me, but I never responded. I was too afraid to step out of my comfort zone and do it. I was first called to preach when I was 17. I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was. But at the time, I thought, I can't do that. That's way outside my comfort zone. Way outside of my comfort zone. What do you say? Where do you get your new messages from? Having to do these things on a regular basis. I thought, no, I can't do that. But Jesus has shown me since that it's an area that Jesus can use me in. And there have been times when I've done it in my own strength, just to fulfill an appointment. And, well, you can do that if you've got something written down. And maybe it's not what God wanted to say on that occasion, but you've got a something just in the file that you can pull out. But on other occasions, when I felt God with me, and by his Spirit have been inspired, and he's been there in my prayers and my preparation and in the preaching, then you can feel completely different when it comes to it. And yes, you do still get nervous, because you think about it, you're only human. But actually when it comes to it, God is there giving the words, enabling, empowering you to respond to the call that he's given you in your life. And that's something that I've felt to be true for myself. We can do so much more if we put our faith in Jesus in the things that he calls us to. when we do what we can, God will do what we can't. In our weaknesses, God makes us strong. And it's only by faith and looking to Jesus that that can happen. And the same was true for Peter. And even when he couldn't walk on the water any longer because his faith, well, had gone and he doubted for a moment, his faith was still in Jesus and he called, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hands and rescued him. If we believe Jesus is saying to us, come, even if it's going to take us out of our comfort zones, then sometimes the only way to find out if it is Jesus calling is for us to respond, to take that step, not to wait or to hang back or to say, no, that's outside my comfort zone, I'm not doing that, but is to respond. It is for us to take the risk and step out of the relative safety of our boats and walk with Jesus. Faith, someone once said, can be spelt R-I-S-K, risk. It's not until we put what we believe into action, even though we've not seen it happen yet, and we take the risk, that our faith is rewarded and we see that Jesus is there and Jesus meets us halfway, because God does what we can't. As long as we take the first step, we can respond and step away from our fears. Evan Baxter, in the film that we saw the clip of earlier, goes on to risk his career, goes on to risk losing his family, goes on following God's call on his life, yes, to build an ark. And if you've not seen the film, it's well worth watching, because there are some very interesting, thoughtful things in there, as well as the comedy value of the film. But if we believe Jesus is speaking to us, there is only one way to find out, and that's to take that step out of the boat and risk it. No risk assessment will be necessary, because Jesus is calling us. And if Jesus is calling us, it's going to be safe. We're not going to be at danger. There's no real risk involved. Jesus will reward us. So are we as individuals held back in our Christian lives by fear of what Jesus may be calling us to do? Are we as a church settled in our own comfort zone so that we aren't recognizing what Jesus is doing? Have we the faith to step out of the boat of comfort and safety, and respond to Jesus when he says, come? Are we willing to risk it? Now, there's just one last thought I want to encourage us with from this passage before I finish. As we move from fear to faith in response to Jesus, and as we look to Jesus, we'll discover what the disciples' reaction was and what the crowds at Gennesaret at the other side of the lake also experienced. When Jesus saved Peter from the water and they were both in the boat, the winds died down, and the disciples' response was worship. They worshipped him, Matthew tells us. They worshipped him. Truly, you are the Son of God. Because they recognized who he was. And they worshipped him for what he has done in response to Peter and how Jesus had come to them. They were full of worship and praise. When we let Jesus be Lord of our lives, when we have faith in him and respond to him and his call, then as he meets us and we move out to him, and the two combine, then wow, it's amazing what God can do and what we see God doing through us by the Spirit and what he can achieve. And our response will be that of praise and worship for what God is doing. And the more God does in our lives as individuals, and the more that we see him doing within the life of the church, then how much more have we got to praise and worship God for? And it kind of all blossoms and grows and gets really exciting. But we need to step away from fear and only respond to Jesus in faith. And what about the people? Well, Matthew tells us that when the men recognized Jesus, they went around telling everyone that Jesus had landed on their shore. Jesus is in town. And what do? When people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe, and all who touched him were healed. All who touched him were healed. They believed that Jesus could heal the sick. They had that faith that he could transform their lives. They believed that all they had to do was just touch just the edge of his cloak, and they would be made well. And that is exactly what was happening. They put their belief into action. They risked it. Not a great deal to do, just reach out a hand. They weren't held back by fear, but in faith they received their fringe benefits. I thank the New Living Translation for that, which we didn't hear from earlier, because New Living Translation does tell us that they just wanted to reach out and touch at least the fringe of his robe. The fringe of his robe. And there are benefits from touching the fringe of the robe of Jesus. Don't have to go much more. Just reach out and touch. Now, if we long for our lives to be transformed by Jesus, if we long to serve Jesus and to work with Jesus in what he wants us to do, then we need to leave fear behind, because we can trust Jesus to keep us safe, to bring us through troubles, and we just need to put our faith in him. Let us reach out for him. Let us save us when we call. Let us receive the fringe benefits that he longs to give us, which are transformed lives, lives that reflect him. St. Augustine said, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of faith is to see what you believe." The people at Gennesaret experienced just that. They believed all they had to do was touch the edge of his cloak and they would be healed. And then when they touched the edge of his cloak, they saw what they believed happening. Their lives were transformed. They were healed. If we long as a church to be a loving community of God's life-changing presence, we need to move from fear to faith and receive the fringe benefits of being able to do things we never imagined, but in Jesus are possible. And we can do things we never imagined in places and with people that we perhaps never thought of ourselves or were too scared to even contemplate. Where would you rather be? Where would we rather be as a church? Would we rather settle for what's comfortable and safe for fear of negative consequences? Or do we long to see Jesus call us to new activities that we might put our faith in him and be transformed as individuals and as a church? The pattern's there to move from faith, from fear to faith, in order that we can receive those fringe benefits of transformed life. Let's just be quiet and still as Hazel comes and leads us in our own thoughts and response as we listen to what God is saying to us as individuals and what he may be saying to us as a church this morning.
Thank you, Mark. Just before we move on to our final songs, let's just be quiet for a moment and think out what we've been hearing this morning. Maybe you just want to close your eyes. And maybe we could just each of us perhaps think of those things in our lives that we fear. Are there things like the practical things of life, the problems of work or finances or future or decisions or illness, those practical things which bring fear of the unknown into our lives? What are we afraid of? And perhaps there are those God things that we're afraid of. Maybe there is that strange fear of God whispering something in our ear that he would like us to do that we really don't want to go there. Is God saying things to us as individuals or as a church which were not in our plan and scare us because we don't know where it's going to lead? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we bring ourselves before you as very weak, ordinary people, with our fears and our failings and our weaknesses. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you love each one of us. And we thank you, too, that you have plans for us. plans for our lives. You want to take us by the hand and lead us, maybe into new things. We pray that as we've been thinking about fear this morning, that you will remove it from our lives. How many times in your word does it say, do not fear, do not be afraid, I am with you, come. And if those are words that we need to hear this morning, we pray that you will print them so firmly in our hearts and minds that we will just know that with you, it's safe. With you, it's the only way to go. We offer you our fears, Lord, and we pray that you will lead us on, that you will give us faith to replace our fears. And we know that in your hands we are safe because you love us so much. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.